What's going on, everybody? It's Wednesday. You know what that means? It means it's time for PGA DFS. And if you're not excited, if you're one of those motherfuckers, if I see you over here in the chat, man, this field sucks, I don't want to play. Shut the fuck up. There you go. That's the long answer. That is the long answer. If you love PGA DFS, you should love these slimy fields just as much as you loved the awesome field last week. I don't want to hear any negative Nancy BS. If that's going to be you, I'll boot you. I won't. I'll be sitting here talking to the camera, but I'm sure my editor will boot you because we don't got time for your negativity. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I am a PGA DFS content creator and recovering high-limit DFS player who is here to help you remember that PGA DFS is supposed to be fun, and it is supposed to be about getting your money in with an edge and not about your picks or my picks or your tout stupid fucking picks, but about actually playing the game and giving yourself a real chance to win and not being dead the second the tournament starts. I'm going to teach you a little bit tonight about how to play the game, about maybe how to have an edge, but at the end of the night, there ain't going to be a single fucking pick, brother. So, I hope that you are down for that. If you are and you like the cut of my jib, I encourage you to hang around for the next hour. We might have a good time. Also, I encourage you to come check this out. We do this every Wednesday, 7 p.m., Lord's time zone. This is the emergency stream. It's what you're watching. But don't be afraid to tune in again Friday and Saturday night for the Showdown Hoedown, which some people have called the best show on YouTube about Showdown with Showdown Hoedown in the title. That is what some people are saying. I tend to agree with them. You should come watch it. If you don't know, Showdown has such a bigger edge than week-long. So if you're getting tired of getting kicked in the nuts every week playing week-long, trust me, I get it. Everybody who does this gets it. Come check out Showdown, okay? I really encourage you to do that. But let's get going. We got so much to do. Let's get going. First of all, for all of you that are here for the drawing, first of all, don't be a slime ball and just be here for the drawing. You stay for the drawing. You come for me and my awesome information, you dick. All right. My dude LSU Nick is sponsoring giveaways. This is to get a $20 ticket into the Pitch and Putt. I will be doing two of them where you will play with me. We will build the lineups together, and anything we hit, I will split with you 50-50, which I think first place this week is a cool $250,000. So I wouldn't mind PayPaling you, like, what is that, $125,000? That'd be pretty cool. That'd be a good screenshot for you. So you want me to do it now? No, I won't, because then you'll leave. Okay, you got to hang around. Plus, I'm trying to help you get better, and you need to hear this shit. So thank you, Nick, for sponsoring this. If you don't know, every week I have a little problem saying fuck. I'm pretty sure I already forgot one, so I'll put another one in there. It upsets my mom how much I drop the F-bomb and some of my listeners, so I'm trying to break it by putting a dollar in the tip jar every time I say it. So every time I say it, I put it in there. One of you is going to play me. Heads up. As you can see, my dude right here, Tony Mark, played me last week, and I got tired of losing. I'd lost four straight weeks because I kept just making lineups, throwing all the assholes I hate in there. But last week, I threw my $200 single entry in there. Tony, what do you think?
Pay that man his money.
Nope, Teddy. We're not. I think I said Tony. Teddy, we're not going to pay that man his money because we whooped his ass. So I win. You know what? Maybe he'll get another chance. Maybe he'll win the drawing tonight. Who knows? But good match, Tony. Good match. Better luck next time. That's what I'm trying to say. Tony and Teddy, two similar of names. All right. What you also need to know is I don't know how you ever quantify this, but I'm pretty sure I have the fastest growing community in PGA DFS. Degenerate75, Degen75.com is my website. I have a whole Discord. We're a bunch of fucking sweaty tryhards. A lot of people love to fly my flag. Not all of them do, but as you can see, this is only from last week. These aren't like, show me all the ones we've ever had. This is just last week. We have so many of them, and I want to give them a shout out. You will not see me taking any credit. In my community, it is about us. It is never about me. It's just the flag that just represents us all. Okay? Look at all these dudes. Look at my dude, Nutty Squid and The Dub and Jonesy and J-Rex. I probably need to move my big ass. I'm probably in the way, right? A.D. Smith's always in there, right? P. Lavin. Of course, Jungle JD. He's rich. He don't count, right? J-Rex. And of course, the big man, LSU Nick, taking down second and third. And I think it was the $100 and $200 Sunday Showdown single entry. I told you Showdown's where it's at. If you don't believe me, just listen to frickin' Nick, okay, you motherfathers? So that is just a quick celebration. I want to give all those guys a shout out. There you go. Too many. All right, let's get to it. Hey, new guy, I know you're a new guy. You've heard about me. You don't know, you're not sure if you like me. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot. Now you're really not going to like me. I got a question for you. Have you made your lineups yet? You have, haven't you? You fucking, these new guys this year, 2023 new guys, are the fucking worst. You heard it here first. They are the worst every single week. And yeah, I've made them. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. You don't do it until you've heard this show, okay? You're like, well, I don't have time after the show. Well, get an optimizer. More on that in a little bit, you sweaty tryhard. Actually, you're not a sweaty tryhard. You're an impulsive donkey is what you are. So you don't make your lineups until you've watched this show. We got too much shit to cover. We haven't even talked about all of the things that we need to talk about for you to make informed decisions and not get your lineups in dead. You don't even know. This is the worst part. I probably played PGA DFS for 2 to 3 years before I realized I was entering lineups that were dead before the tournament even started. I didn't even know that. You don't even know what you don't know. That's what I'm here to help you fix. New guy. All right, let's start with contest selection. I'm trying to give FanDuel a chance. I'm really trying here because, you know, I like DK, but you want me to be real? DK kind of pisses me off. At DK, you can't always have it your way. All right. So I want to believe in you, FanDuel. I want to believe, okay? But this is their main tournament this week, a $9 tournament with $25,000 in the player pool. Get. Paulie, tell him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. What are you doing? Jeez. I mean, look, FanDuel, if you're not going to take yourself serious, I'm not going to take you serious. That's it. We're done talking about FanDuel. Paulie, tell him again.
Get the fuck out
of here. All right, here we go. Let's talk about contest selection over on DraftKings, where you cannot have it your way. And let me tell you why. Because here it is. It is only 7 o'clock, 7:06 Lord's time zone right now, and these contests are all almost full. Here's DraftKings. Hey, Tiger's not playing this week, so make sure you screw up all the main tournaments and shrink them way too small because people aren't interested in golf unless Tiger's playing. No, DraftKings, that's not true. There's all kinds of sweaty tryhards out there, and we play every week. It doesn't matter. Tiger's just the awesome cherry on top, you donkey dicks. So, quit making your tournaments too small. There was no need to drop down the big $20 this week. Look, it's at $45,000. At $58, it fills. It's going to fill in like the next 3-4 hours. Get out of here. Anyways. As you can see, a million in the prize pool, $250,000 to first. That sounds great. But let me just go ahead and tell you the ending of this story, new guy. You're not going to win it. Don't play in it. And here's the deal. I'll make it. If you enter at least 50 lineups in this, I'll leave you alone. But if you're playing your $100 this week and you go toss 5 in this, that's why you never win at DraftKings. That's why you're a deposit king and why you've never actually withdrawn. Because you're playing in stupid lotteries like this. You ain't never going to win. You're going to hit a nuts lineup. You're going to hit a once-in-a-lifetime lineup, and it's going to pay you like $400. Okay? So you're going to get like, I got 62nd place, which would be incredible. And you would win. You'd win $400. That's enough to get you through the next month. Awesome. Awesome. Don't play in it. Don't play in it. This is for people that don't know what they're doing or people that can MME, mass multi-enter, can do 150. I'm going to assume, new guy, you're neither of those. So don't play in it. All right. The big 555. I love the 555. I wish this was 100,000 up top. It would be the nuts. 150 is the 25%. As you know, 25% is the absolute top peak that I will allow being paid to first that I'll play in. But in week long, there's just so many good contest selections. Why sleep? You know, like, why sleep with the ugly chick? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just go find some good ones. Look at the big $5 this week. Once again, this is going to be full in an hour. So you better go get your ass in this one now. It is at 64,000 of 71. Only 8% to first, 60% of second to first, and 10th place, 125th to first. Not bad. That is a really, really good contest. You got your $100, you'd be way better putting 20 lineups in this than you would putting 5 in the big $20. Still, you got to beat 71,000 people, which you ain't going to win, but at least it's a better format. All right, moving on from there, the $200 single entry, still not happy about it. I love the 88, but I know what most of you are playing. Most of you are playing $20, $50, maybe $100 a week, and you want to know about a variety of contests. Well, I always think that the $5 single entry is great, the $12 single entry is great, the $33 single entry is great, the $3 3 max, the $8 3 max, the $20 3 max, Pat Mayo's $15 3 max that he does with no rake over on all of his pods is the nuts. You want to be in contests like that. That is such a more sustainable way. Not to mention my contest, which I can't even see it. Maybe because I've already entered it, max entered it. Where is it at? I don't know. I've already reserved all my lineups because I was waiting too long to reserve them and I was like missing stuff. But anyways, oh, there it is. Wait, that's not it. That's not it. Am I on the right day here? Yeah. Right. What's going on? I can't find it. Anyways, it is the 18 max $10. It is the nuts tournament. It is a nice flat payout structure. If you want to play $200 this week, the best thing you could do would be toss 18 lineups in that so other people don't have more lineups than you and they're more leveraged. Okay. Consider that. There's also quarter, 50 cent. There's a $1 20 max that's great. A $3 20 max that's great. They have the 50 cent down here. If you want to practice mass multi-entering, the key is when you play at these lower stakes, play and learn the game. Learn how to get a tight player pool. Learn how to balance your exposures. Learn how to get 2x on every player. Learn how to condense the size of your player pool and learn how to build lineups you're uncomfortable with. Those are all keys to success that you're going to have when you start playing multiple hundreds or maybe even multiple thousands of dollars in the future. Okay? So that is my advice to you. That is contest selection. That is the first thing, new guy. But the best contest you could be in is, of course, mine right here. It's right here. It's this one. Go hop in at first place. You get to build a lineup with me, and you get a free week on my website. I'm going to stop saying Discord because it confuses the shit out of people. I have a website. I am a grown-ass man. And second place gets a free week on there too. So if just hop in this, completely free. You don't have to put your email in. You don't have to like say three nice things about me. No Hail Marys. It shouldn't. There's no. It's just a build a community thing. I'm building a community. I'm trying to do something a little bit different with DFS content, and this is just part of doing that. Okay, there's no strings attached. It's just fun. Hop in there or don't. I don't give a fuck. All right. So new guy, you ready for redemption? What's the first thing we always check when we're getting ready to make our lineups? All right. It's weather. That's right, new guy. Good job. And once again, in case you don't know, in case you're not caught up, I am a super, super, super wealthy man, and I can afford the $18 a year to have a subscription over at Wendy.com. And everybody, you know, all the noobs in the industry are like, what, talking about what they see on Windfinder and what they're talking about they see on Willy Weather and the Weather Channel. Let me go ahead and tell you a little secret that all my meteorological nerd buddies, all the guys like, oh, weather. You know how I am with ownership and some guys are with grass? Well, there's guys like that out there who are like, oh, the weather, okay? And I have learned that these are the six major projections that everybody uses. So when you go look at those sites, it's all right here. So you really shouldn't, you just need to look at one site because this is all six of them, right? They're down in the Florida. I believe this is called Palm Beach Gardens is where they're at, right? See, I got it found. It's on the map here. If you want to know where that's at, it's in Florida. All right, here's what I'm seeing, Bob. Here's what I'm seeing, because here seems to be the consensus. As you can see, I hope you can see this. It's right here above my right shoulder. Thursday is right here. It does appear as though Thursday morning is going to be lighter, and it's going to lightly pick up throughout the day. Now, it does all six projections, none of them have it getting above 13 miles an hour sustained winds tomorrow, okay? None of them. Even the highest one has 13 with 25 mile an hour gusts, but most of them are more in the 10 to 12 range with not very big gusts, okay? So if if you want to just play the odds, 5 out of 6, it's not going to be crazy windy tomorrow afternoon. However, it is definitely going to be windier tomorrow afternoon than it is going to be tomorrow morning. Furthermore, if you don't know, because you know I'm like such a weather dude and stuff, that now they're in Florida, you don't have to wait for the courses to warm up. This course is going to be super gettable in the mornings. For all of you that are Showdown guys, there's a big edge to be at Showdown now that they're back in Florida. And the winds are going to be the lightest. All six projections agree that the winds will be lighter tomorrow morning than they will be tomorrow afternoon. Even when it says there's going to be 8 to 10 mile an hour winds tomorrow morning, well, they have it getting up even higher, okay? So that seems to be consensus, as there will be more winds Thursday afternoon than Thursday morning, okay? That is what all six are projecting. But they all do seem to say that there are some winds kind of all day. Four of the six say that basically all day there's going to be some winds. So this is where we really start to play the game, okay? Is if there's going to be winds all day tomorrow, the morning will probably play a little bit easier in the afternoon. That's just normal on warm courses because the greens haven't been chewed up. The greens are a little bit softer. The course hasn't got baked out. There's a lot of little factors. And when you factor in that we'll probably have lighter winds, the morning guys will almost certainly score better than the afternoon guys tomorrow. But that is not what we're chasing at week long. At week long, we're looking for an edge. Everybody's going to play a morning round and an afternoon round. So we want to try to get the best. And what I see is right here. When you get over to Friday, I got to move it so my big ass shoulder's not in the way. When you look at Friday, you'll notice it is consensus across all of them that no winds show up in any real meaningful way until 1 o'clock, which means basically the entire morning wave will be done. So the one time that we know that this course will be gettable, and by gettable, please hear me on this. This is a difficult course. When I say gettable, I mean it just won't whoop your ass so bad, okay? It means we're like maybe -2s and -3s will be like scores that can be had out there. And the one time that I can tell you it will certainly be the most gettable this week will be Friday morning. Okay. Well, if I play the guys Friday morning, that will mean that they played at least Thursday afternoon. I hope I didn't just go off the air. I see my little thing spinning. Am I still on the air over here? This is awkward. It says excellent connection. I'm going to continue on. See if the editor's blowing me up, telling me I'm not live. Great fucking television here. All right. Hannah said, yep. All right. I'm here. Fuck it. So the one thing that we know, sorry, Mom. The one thing that we know is that Friday morning is going to be the best. And so even if Thursday afternoon is a little bit more, the one thing we know for sure is that it is going to be the best scoring conditions Friday morning. So I'm going to prioritize that. And this is such a misconception about weather edges. This is when you know people don't understand weather edges. Last week, I told you that generally speaking, there wasn't going to be a huge shot difference between the two waves, okay? And there wasn't. It ended up being about 3/4 of a shot. However, The one thing that I did tell you is Thursday morning was going to be when the course was most gettable. So I ended up really stacking guys at that. And all those guys who went out and had a minus six and a minus seven and had those really great rounds Thursday morning were the guys that ended up being at the top of the leaderboard at the end of the week. And what I'm telling you this week is if there's a time that this course is going to be gettable and people are going to get after it, it is going to be Friday morning. So I am going to prioritize. I will certainly make at least my tiebreaker, probably more than that, that if you play Thursday PM, where it's, you know, probably going to be just a little bit worse of an edge than Thursday morning, you are going to have the nuts conditions Friday morning. That's what I'm going to be playing. Okay. And that's not my opinion. That's what all six towers are showing me. Could it change? Sure. It's weather. But I feel pretty good about all six projections saying the same thing. That is playing the weather edge. If you don't at least factor in that PM AM guys probably have, I don't want to be dramatic, but at least a 5% edge, well, then you're not playing the game. Okay. You just have your stupid fucking picks. Okay. If you're like, I got to play Shane Lowry no matter what, even if he's on the bad side. All right. If you want to go play 25% on Shane Lowry when you know that he's going to probably be on the bad side, you go right on ahead. It's your world. You do you, boo. I'm just trying to help you walk through the game and really understand this. This is so, so important. Okay. People always think I'm shitting on people. My picks are nothing special. Your picks are sure as shit nothing special. And that guy that you pay $90 a month to for his picks, they're sure as shit really bad, okay? Because at the end of the day, all that really matters is these guys are all good golfers, and it's such a highly variant sport. Let's control the one variable that we can, who's going to be playing on the easier course. That's how you play the game, and that is how you get away from stupid fucking picks and learn how to get an edge. Okay, there you go. You want to see what the other sites say? Go look at them yourself, okay? I don't even know why I still put them up there. They're all pulling from those projections, and I'm rich, so I pay the $18 a year for you, you mother father. Once this is over, I still have to go make a ton of lineups with all my contest winners, right? Because right? The big guy gives away a lot of prizes. Some people are like, people only watch your show because you give so much stuff away. Okay, so I'm not a poor, okay? You can do the same thing, bruh. So I like to make lineups too. I've hit a lineup or 12 in my day, right? So how do I make my lineups? It's very simple. I got this thing called the solver where I can go make my player pool. I take my player pool. I input it in here. I set the rules that I want. If I want to have a certain exposure to a player, or I want these two guys to always be played together, or I want more variance in my lineups, this will take my player pool that I make, my picks, nobody else's, my choices, and it will make the most optimized version of my lineups. Furthermore, I want to give a surprising shout out. If you didn't listen to Andy Lack, if you don't know, Andy Lack runs the Inside Golf Podcast, one of my favorite listens out there. The guy is a savant at golf course architecture, and he had Saul Goodman on this week, and Saul was talking about the solver, and Saul made a tremendous point that I had never really considered, and I think it is worth repeating. Part of the thing an optimizer can do, specifically the solver, is it will help make lineups that you would have otherwise not thought of, right? Every winning lineup I've ever had has always been a little icky, right? I've never made it and be like, that's it. That's the one. It's the one that wins. It's always that one where it's like, oh, fuck, that's ugly, man. That is an ugly lineup. But the solver doesn't think like that. It doesn't know ugly. It doesn't know pretty. It doesn't know any of those things. It just knows here's the player pool, and here is the best version of that player pool in your 20, your 50, your 150 lineups that you made, and here it is. And when it doesn't have that bias that we had, right? Yeah, we might put a guy in our player pool, but we don't really want to play him. And if we do, we definitely don't want to play him with that other icky guy. I can only stand one icky guy in my lineup. But the solver doesn't think like that. It thinks, hey, maybe two icky guys in the lineup is the right play. And so it takes that bias out of it, and we need that because we are all just a bunch of stupid humans that have our biases, and a good optimizer takes that out of there. Because what is the point of having a great player pool with the nuts if you don't build the lineup that is the nuts out of that player pool? And that's what an optimizer does. And that's why I love the solver. And this is why I use it. You should go use my landing page. Look, it comes with my projections. My projections are already right there. They're loaded in there. So is my ownership. Everything you need to make lineups. And here's the best part. Are you going to pay $100 for an optimizer? No. $25 a month for this thing is silly. Make sure to use my landing page with that showdown hoedown symbol in there, and you will get round one, round two, round three, round four showdown projections, and of course week-long projections, which we were talking about here. People love it. I've literally not had one person be like, bro, this is the best. If you make more than 20 lineups a slate, I don't know how you could live without this thing. I would have quit making lineups. I'm so busy with content, but the solver has allowed me to still make good competitive lineups, even though I'm busy as a mother father. All right. Let's get to what really drives it, ownership. If you don't know, I'm a sweaty, try-hard ownership guy, okay? I spend a lot of time on ownership. As you can see, I've been tracking everybody in the community. I am going to stop posting this because I've heard that so many people are getting their feelings hurt. Okay. And I do want to point out that generally speaking across the industry, ownership is getting better and better and better. What a concept that if you hold people accountable and let everybody see their numbers, they magically get better at it. What a fucking concept. Who would have ever thought? So I've done my job. I've put it out there. And I'm going to stop posting, okay? Some of the tout sites are getting a little salty at me, okay? I'm sorry, tout sites. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings by letting people know what they're paying $100 a month for. Okay, so there you go. As you can see, here they are. I'm still going to make them, but I'm just going to keep them in-house. Best ownership out there. You know why? Because I'm a sweaty try-hard who spends a lot of time on it. If you think that's an insult, you don't know me, okay? I've spent 6 hours on these things today. Some people are enjoying their Wednesday. They're eating. They're working. They're maybe having a nice adult beverage. I'm just sweating here with, just sitting here with sweat pouring down my face, going through ownership. We also do a cool thing where we're tracking chalk, right? Everybody always says, man, the chalk always gets there. I hate PGA. Does it? Or is that your stupid perception? See, what we're doing is we're tracking it. Every week, I have things called chalk donkeys. The guys that are just your donkey dick if you play them. Last week was Tony Finau, Taylor Montgomery, and Patrick Rogers. How did chalk do last week? Hey, guy that played 100% Patrick Rogers, how you feeling? How you feeling, bud? How you feeling? Chalk always gets there, huh? Patrick Rogers? All right. Taylor Montgomery? You're gonna play Taylor? Okay, you go play Taylor Montgomery. So there you go. Tony Finau did still get there, but that was only because he was up against the Leprechaun and Sam Burns decided to suck. Overall, you want to know how they're doing? The chalk is getting closed in on it. Used to be a 66-33 split. Now it's all the way down to 56-44. You're saying, oh, so the chalk does get there more than the regulars. Yes, 56-44, which is almost equivalent to ace king versus deuces for all you poker players. Yet, these guys are coming in at one half and one third the ownership of the chalk. So then in that sense, if you were getting 3-1 on your money, would you not call with ace king versus pocket deuces? Would you not? I mean, this is just so easy. You're getting 3-1 on your money. Of course, it's like it's almost 50-50. So we're looking at this objectively. We'll see where the data gets us, but I'm just letting you know the chalk is starting to fail. All right, here you go. Here it is. This is the top 10 most owned and a couple honorable mentions. Always be aware when you see honorable mentions that something's up. All right, here you go. If you can't tell, there is this young upstart that no one's heard of. I believe he is from North Korea. He escaped the dictator, something like that. I can't remember his story. Okay, it's a joke, guys. He's from South Korea. You can tell the man likes, you know, some Korean street food, okay? A little thick, but I love the man. His name is Sung Jae-im, all right? And Sung Jae-im is, well, let's face it, he's underpriced. In this field, he should probably be about 11,200. He has a great course history. He's won at this course before. He is, without question, the most talented player in this field. Okay? I mean, Shane Lowry's probably a close second, but outside of those two, it's like runaway them, right? So what is his ownership this week? I have him currently projected at 39.5%. He is right on the cusp of breaking the super, super, super rare 40%. You hardly ever see anybody break 40% in week-long, full-field PGA. You hardly ever see it. And Sung Jae might be one of those rare unicorns that does it this week. Now, I will go ahead and tell you, Sung Jae-im has a tremendous win equity. He has a tremendous made cut equity. He has a tremendous top 20 equity. All of these things are great. He is a more talented player than everybody else there. He has a better course history than almost everybody else in this field. However, what you need to know about old Sung Jae is 40%. It's very, very rare in golf that you can block out 40% of the field. If you're playing in the big $20 this week, that is 28,000 lineups that will have Sung Jae-im in it. And if that one guy just gets T42 or misses the cut, which he did last year, 28,000 lineups instantly dead. How often do you ever get that chance to just instantly kill 40% of lineups? Outside of Showdown, where dumbasses on Sunday Showdown play the wrong guys all the time, right? Then, like you do. Like, I think John Rahm was 48% this last week. Just don't play him, and half the field's dead. Piece of cake. But at week long, we don't get that kind of leverage. So when you get that, it becomes really, really tempting to fade him. But you got to be aware of what you're dealing with. He has probably a twice as likely chance of winning this tournament as almost anybody else, according to my win equity. Actually, he has one of the highest numbers. And it's not because he's an unbelievable player. It's because everybody else in this field sucks. But it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if you don't know, Sung Jae-im, man talking chalk! And we don't play Donkey Chalk except when we do. Except when we do, guy over there. That is some bad Donkey Chalk. I don't care how much you love Sungjae, and I will tell you this. He is so chalky that you are basically left with two options, in my opinion. You shit or get off the pot. You put your nuts on the table and you full fade his ass. That's option number one. Or you basically got to go 80%+ on him. Just go all in on him. Because if you just play him in 40% of your lineups, the same as the field, you're just a rake payer. You just pay the rake and you will always lose. Your lineups are dead before you even enter the tournament. Shit or get off the pot with Sungjae. That is my advice to you. I don't care what you do, because you want to know a little secret? I don't give a shit who you play. But what I do care about is that you're making optimal plays. And the optimal play is either to fade his ass or go all in on him. Anywhere in between, I think, is a donkey play. You do you, boo. The second highest owned guy is Aaron Wise. Aaron Wise coming in at a smooth nearly 24%. There are guys right below him at 11%, right above him at 13%. If you don't know this, and by the way, let the record show, Aaron Wise was my first gut instinct pick this week. Okay, just like Willie Z was last week. But at the end of the day, I'm an objective man. If you don't know, Aaron Wise, he is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk except when we do. Except when we do. Okay? So, there you go. Shane Lowry, 23%, getting a little hefty. His ownership. Stop it. Stop it. So, Shane Lowry, 10,400. He would likely be Donkey Chalk, but I think he gets a little bit of a pass just because he is right by Mega Chalk Sungjae. So I'm going to be in a good mood, and I like old Sugar Shane. He's Chalk, right? I don't love it, but if you put him in 45-50% of your lineups and you have leverage on him, you can play some Shane Lowry and not catch any garbage from me, okay? But yo, hot in Vegas, that's another story. This man has guys legit on each side of him at 8%, okay? Guys, like, you're telling me he's two or three times more likely to outperform the guys right next to him? Okay, I love Jonathan Vegas too. I love Venezuela too, okay? However, and I love his last name because I love Vegas. But 8,600, Jonathan Vegas is a little too cheap. So we know people are going to play him. We know he's coming in a good form. But 20% on Jonathan Vegas, if you don't see this coming, the man, he's Donkey Chalk. And we don't play Donkey Chalk except when we do. Except when we do. You didn't see that one coming, did you? My vocal cords are starting to hurt, so I had to take one off, all right? Deal with it. Let me get a quick sip of the Perrier. All right. I've got Minwoo Lee. There's enough smart people out there that know that Minwoo Lee, when you put him in your stat model, he looks horrendous because it's not pulling Americans, or it's not pulling PGA stats because he hasn't played PGA in forever. But he has been over on the DP World Tour lighting it up. I think, you know, at 18%, that's a hair high, but it's not that out of line. So we'll just give him Ed Chalk, right? He's just, whatever. It's not like a deal breaker. Denny McCarthy at 9,100 at 17%. You got to remember, a lot of people, his ownership is just simply because he's in the 9Ks. And with pricing being so soft this week, people are going to spend their money and get into that 9K for two or three players in their lineup. So because of that, I'm also just going to give him Chalk, okay? Chris Kirk at 17%. He is the third most expensive guy in this field. If you don't know, I really don't think 16% is that out of line for the third most expensive guy in a tournament. I don't even call that Chalk, but if you want to, I'll just call it Nkoy Chalk, all right? It's like, okay, it's whatever. Matt Kuchar, you know, once again, people are going to spend their money. I'm not too torn up about it. That's just okay Chalk, okay? I don't even consider those guys Chalk. I will tell you, I've heard some grumblings about old JT Poston that have me a little bit concerned, new guy. That some people in the know have said, beware of him this week. I was already kind of off of him because he wasn't on my preferred wave stack. I'm going to go ahead and just to help you out a little bit, I'm going to say, pump the brakes. If you still love him, you play him. But just be aware of that. Hayden Buckley. Oh, okay. Hayden Buckley at 15%. Notice, he's 7,600. When you're over 15% in the 7,000s, that's almost auto Donkey Chalk. But for whatever reason, in this upper 7K range, the 7,500 to the 7,900, like, every person there is owned except Justin Suh. I don't get it. I've never seen anything like it where there's a range of like 10 straight guys that are so highly owned. So because of that, as much as I want to give him Donkey Chalk, he's just kind of a little out of line compared to the other guys around him. So I'm just going to give him Chalk, all right? Adrian Maronk, another guy really pushing the limits of my kindness, okay? At 14%, but I'm in a good mood. You're going to get Chalk. But this brings me to the most shocking one of all. I remember getting some DMs on Monday saying, are you seeing Padraig Harrington at 15%? I'm like, dude, are you drunk? Like, what are you talking about? Padraig Harrington, 15%? Okay. Not a chance, right? But then I started doing ownership today, and I refused to believe that he was going to be above 7%. And then I just keep seeing everybody project him higher and higher and higher, and everybody talking him up, and I guess there's like a little bit of steam to this Padraig Harrington. Honest to God, if he was at 2%, I would call him Donkey Chalk. So if you think Padraig Harrington at 8% is a good play, just know something. Man, Donkey
donkey chop.
And that is horrific donkey chop. That is Patrick Rogers level donkey dick chop. You go right on ahead and you go play all the Padraig Harrington you want. I'll go play like Danny Willett at the exact same price. And if you want a 50-50 bet with me, actually, you'd have to give me 2-1 because he's going to be twice the ownership. You slip right on into my DMs, you donkey. And there you go. That is ownership. Once again, guys, please get this correct. You can play donkey chalk. You truly can. The key is you just got to be aware of when you're playing it and what it does to the rest of your lineup. If you're going to play a donkey chalk guy in there, you got to have maybe a pivot or two in there or a low-owned sleeper or two in there to help offset that. To avoid all the chalk all the time is a fool's errand. The key is learning that magical space where it's a little bit of chalk, a little bit of pivots, and a little bit of low ownership, and it's kind of icky, and those are the nuts lineups. I'm telling you, it's something that you can only learn with a bang load of experience. By the way, I see 257 people in here. First time I've ever broke 250. Thank you, all you SOBs. I appreciate you. Not to mention, last week was my most viewed show ever. So thank you for that. 600 watch hours, 1,500 views. That means 600 watch hours means that 25 days of human beings' lives were just watched my live stream last week. What are you guys doing with your life? What are you doing? My God. All right. Let's get to my model. I'm a big model guy. If you don't know, models are where it's at. It's the only thing that matters. Said no one ever that knows what they're talking about. Okay, I love par 4 scoring this week. I think it will be the definitive feature of this course, but to just look at par 4 scoring is a noob endeavor. So I looked at difficult par 4 scoring. I looked at good drives, guys that are going to put it in the fairway where they can give themselves a chance at greens and regulation. I double dipped and then turned around and did greens and regulation because if you're scrambling your balls off around here, you're going to be in a bunch of trouble. Okay, so you need to be hitting greens and regulation. Greens and regulation, if you don't know, is just whatever par is, take two shots off of that, okay? That's what a green and regulation is. Ball striking is super important. DK points on difficult courses, Bermuda putting, bogey avoidance on difficult courses, around the green, proximity 150 to 175, but more importantly, 175 to 200, fast greens, difficult courses, short 70s, and course history, and Nicholas Designs. And everybody, what a surprise! Sungjae, the best player in the field, is number one in my model. I make such good models. How do I know how to make such good models that the best player is number one in my model? I don't get how I do it. It's a true gift I have. Anyways, Sungjae is a god in the model. As you can see, he's top five in like 49 different stats. It's Sungjae. He's just better. He's a better player than these guys. He's going to look better in the model. This is why, like, if you're looking at a model because you needed to be convinced to play Sungjae, you don't understand models, noob. Shane Lowry's number two. I will say that I did weight drinking beer and overeating really heavy in my model, so I'm surprised he didn't show up number one. But fortunately, Sungjae was there. By the way, what's up with the chubby guys this week? Big week for the chubby guys. Let's go. Hey, maybe that's a good sign for me. Billy Horschel's number three in the model. Now, that's kind of surprising because Billy Horschel is not a model guy usually, right? So when he shows up third in the model, really interesting. If you don't know, Alex Noren, he's see you later. He said, I'm not playing. Okay, I don't know what I'm saying. He's out. He's not playing. Minwoo Lee looks horrible in the model, but just know this is pulling stats from like 58 years ago. He has been playing incredible over on the DP World Tour. He is a guy that like has tremendous win equity. He is a guy that when he plays well, he is almost as good. I would say he's probably the third best player in this field, maybe the fourth best player in this field when he is playing well. Okay, it's just his upside is really good when he's playing well. Let's see, Aaron Wise. I get why he's so popular this week. He's underpriced. Aaron Wise, in my opinion, is the third most talented golfer in this field. He was the first guy I thought of this week. He makes all the sense in the world. I can't play donkey chalk Aaron Wise. I can't do it, Bob. Which, by the way, I just realized I don't even know who the hell's my one guy I'm going to play this week. All right. From there, some other guys to talk about. Jonathan Vegas looks great in the model. He's been ball striking the hell out of it. This is a big ball striker course. Makes a lot of sense. He should probably be closer to about 9,100 based on his current form and the players around him. So the fact that you're getting 8,600 is a great price. For whatever reason, nobody wants to play Sepp Straka. Do I need to remind you that dude won the tournament last year? Okay, we're not. Look, I said this earlier on my Discord when I was making a video for the website. When people win their first tournament, I don't like playing them the next week, especially if they're a nobody who's not used to winning. But to say, oh, Sepp won last year, he'll never win this year, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That just means he's comfortable with this course and he's coming in with probably some feel-good going to him. So Sepp Straka being roughly one-third the ownership of Vegas, it's not even a decision. Not even a decision. You make your picks, I'll play my game. Bez, when I think of guys who play difficult courses, especially shorter difficult courses as well, I think of Bez. And just look how often this guy is showing up in the top 15 of my model. Okay, love him. Patrick Rogers withdrew. He was going to play, but then he remembered he was a fucking loser and lets everybody down. And he thought, instead of doing that again, I'm just going to step down. Okay, I don't want to be 25% on chalk that lets everybody down. He's still emotionally distressed. You guys did this to him. Here's that weird range I was talking about from Ben Griffin basically all the way down to Will Gordon. Like, almost every one of these guys except Justin Suh is double-digit ownership. And double-digit ownership in the 7Ks is not very common, especially when we're talking 10 players in a row. So here is an idea to consider. Maybe just consider fading this entire range, right? Maybe the real pivot this week is play Sungjae, right? But then just don't play these guys, right? Like, that will get your lineup so much different than everybody else. Because here's what everybody's doing. They're grabbing Sungjae, and they're coming down. They're grabbing three or four of these guys in the upper sevens. So they have a lineup that they really like and they feel comfortable with. So maybe a pivot isn't, instead of this guy, I'll play this guy. Maybe a pivot is, instead of playing this range, I'll play this range or this range. Instead of playing this upper 7K, I'll play the lower 7K or the low 8Ks, right above them, right below them. Now your roster is very much different, simply just by going to different ranges for your second, third, fourth guys in your lineups, right? That's a way to be different without having to really sacrifice guys that you like. Let's see. From there, Danny Willett, Davis Riley, S.H. Kim are all guys right here that are kind of sandwiched in between these guys. And then, of course, sandwiched between just the worst chalk of all time, Padraic Harrington. I mean, if you have your choice between Danny Willett, Davis Riley, S.H. Kim, or Padraic Harrington, if you say Padraic Harrington before any of those guys, you go tie on your shoes as tight as you can, run as fast as you can, head first into a brick wall. Okay, because those guys are just objectively better players. But he's been doing well playing the old guys. Oh, really? So we're going to play Bernard Langer too? Polly, tell him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Lee, I will tell you, I keep saying this every show. I refuse to let go. I still believe in Webb. My model still believes in Webb. I'm not going to quit him. I'm not going to quit. I will never quit you, Webb. Okay, Webb Simpson is sixth in the model. Look, he sucks. He sucks, but I can't let him go. For so long that I've been playing PGA DFS, he's been so good. And the fact that I can have him for 7,300, I can't let go, okay? It's not that easy. Adam Long, the model loves Adam Long. Not a soul is going to play Adam Long. He's probably a little overpriced, but if there's a course that I like Adam Long at because he's ironically not long at all, it'd be a course like this, okay? Yes, you'll probably wake up and he'll be four over through six and you'll be cursing me, but just know, he could also be four under through six. It'll be one of those two. That's Adam Long. Zach Johnson is a guy that sneaky is good at a couple things that I looked at. Mark Hubbard is just underpriced at 7,000. I will tell you that, but I will tell you something seems off with Mark Hubbard. Okay. I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but just something doesn't seem right because he's a pretty good golfer. And the fact that he's 7,000 in this field and he's not 25% should tell you that people kind of are just feel the same way I do. Something's going on with that man. You want a couple sleepers to consider? Matt Wallace has been disgusting. There's no way you could ever play him. But let me tell you this, dude. When I think of guys who can grind a hard fucking course, I think of Matt Wallace. Okay. Is he in the best form? No. But long-term talent, I think he's a buyer. Same reason I played Shane Lowry last week. He had not been playing good, but long-term talent, he was way too good to be with the guys that he was around. That's Matt Wallace this week. If you're a buyer in that, check him out. Plus, he plays hard course as well. My dude, Eric Cole, sneaky good in a lot of stats. Is this guy like a good golfer? It's so weird when new golfers you don't know start to become good, and you're like, I don't believe you. But he does. He seems to be good. He seems to be good. Ryan Moore is another really icky one you should consider. Satoshi Kodaira, if you want a really gross sleeper, somebody who plays hard course as well. And then just a dude because he's a cowboy and, you know, I'll live in Oklahoma. Austin Eckroat, you got to consider him. You got to consider Austin Eckroat. And then from there, one last really gross one. Tyson Alexander is a guy that's $6,400 every week, but he's $6,400 when the fields are good. Now the field's terrible. We're going to keep him at $6,400. Okay, Bob. Okay. There you go. Those are some sleepers to consider. Those are some pivots to consider. That is some pivots to consider. So now what I will tell you is the one guy I'm definitely not playing this week, and if you don't see this coming, welcome to the channel, new guy. Fucking get with the show. If you think I'm playing, I would run 27 marathons in a row before I would put Padraic, 8% own Padraic Harrington in my lineup. Polly, tell him.
Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, Padraic Harrington. Not a chance. Not a chance. So who is the one guy I'm definitely playing this week? You know what? I'm going to mix it up. I was going to go Sungjae, but that's such a bitch move. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go with Sungjae. The one man I'm going to play this week is a guy who has actually been ball striking pretty well. A guy that plays difficult par 70s pretty well. And I am really buying the old guy narrative. The old guys are making a comeback. Gary Woodland, Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler. They're all making a comeback, right? So why can't this old guy make a comeback? The one guy I'm definitely playing this week, his name is Matt Kuchar. We're playing Matt. We're playing Matt Kuchar. We're doing it. We're doing it. I don't care. I don't care if he doesn't tip caddies. I'm playing him. He's going to be in my lineups. I'm playing Matt Kuchar. We're doing it. Hey, you ready for the drawings? 1 second. We'll get to it in just a second. Come check out my website, dgen75.com. I need to be clear about something. Yes, I have a Discord, but the website is its own thing. If you're just a person who wants the content, it is all contained right here on my website. Sign up. I know some of you are olds and you're like, I don't know what the hell a Discord is. Okay, I get it. I'm an old too. So if you just want my content, you want to see all the content that I make for my subscribers, it's all right here on my website. You don't have to get on the Discord. I know it's scary. So you don't even have to do that part. You can, that is a bonus, but it's not required. And I have the best tool ever over there. It is called the Rosetta Stone. Everything you need to know that I talk about that you need to make informed decisions is contained right here on this thing. Everything from cash plays to GPP plays to pivots to sleepers to who are the high leverage players, their recent form, where they rank in the model, their course history, their win equity, if there's a wave advantage, everything you need to know I contain right here. So you don't have to spend 60 hours a week being a sweaty asshole like me. You can spend 60 minutes and make good informed lineups and really have a chance to win. And notice, there's not a single pick on there. It's all on you. If you want picks, go to the stupid fucking touts, okay? All right, let's get to the drawing. Oh, don't forget, drop a like and a sub. I'm trying to get to 3,000 by the Masters. And tell a friend about me, because if you don't know, I get 1,500 views last week, and YouTube only gives me 8,000 impressions. Are you kidding me? My click-through rate's like 20%. YouTube, why do you hate me? Fuck them. Let's just tell friends. We'll just spread it organically. It's like 1897 in here. Let's go. All right, let's get to the drawing. It is sponsored by my dude LSU Nick, who, if you didn't see, had a real, real good week last week, and he wanted to spread the love. So here we go. Our first winner is Fat Sandwich. What a effing name that is. Fat Sandwich 100. Send me a DM. We're doing a lineup tonight. Corey Klinger, we're doing a lineup tonight. And, of course, for the fuck counter, which, man, I feel like I owe some to that. For the fuck counter, it is Justin Creech. I know that guy. That's my dude. As a matter of fact, I think he's sponsored a giveaway too. So he'll enjoy whooping my ass. There you go. Those are our winners tonight. Don't forget to hop in my contest. That's also a chance to win a ticket with me for next week. Get in there. It's fun. No strings attached. The description is in here. I would tell you, don't reach out to me on Twitter. I've basically given up on the Twitters. You can always contact me through Discord, or I think the editor's going to put my email in here if you're old school and you ever want to get a hold of me. I won't big dog yet. I don't take myself too serious. With all that said, let's get to some Q&A, you motherfathers. All right, here we go. Oh my God, look how long this is. That's what she said. Okay. Sweaty, greasy, and ready to go. MC1234, I don't recognize your name, but I'm going to tell you a little secret, buddy. I like the cut of your jib. I almost never get the live stream. Listen the next morning. Are you excited for me? Matt, I'm as excited about you being here as a fat kid with a three-layer chocolate cake. All right, let's see. If I don't see a question mark, I'm not answering. Matt Kuchar this week. Spoon Man, that is so funny you say that. That's the one guy I'm definitely playing this week. We're playing Matt. Let's go, Matt. All right, I like Minwoo Lee, but I don't know how popular he'll be. I mean, as you saw with the ownership, about 19%. Not a deal breaker, but also not low owned. With a weak field, only two 10K guys, and one of them looking like a ridiculous rock, is there a point in dipping into the 6K range? Chris, here'd be my answer to that. If you don't really like somebody in the 6Ks this week, don't even play him. Okay, sometimes we have to drop into the 6Ks because we just can't afford to give up John Rahm or Scottie Scheffler's win equity, right? But if you're not in love with anybody in the 6Ks, I think you can get Sungjae and Lowry in a lineup, and I don't even think you need to go to the 6Ks. I think you can play four guys in that lower 7K range and still make that lineup work mathematically. Almost sure of that, right? So no, I don't see any reason to go down there. If you like somebody from down there, go down there. But to just go down there to go down there, no sense. M or not to M? T-Swin, the answer is in your heart, you mother father. Let's see. Anyways, where are we at? All right, Carm, what advantage of having a smaller player pool? Sorry for the dumb question. There's no dumb questions, man. We're all learning ones. I wish there was a show like this for me to have questions answered like this. And the answer is very simple. Why a small player pool? Because it's so rare that your player pool hits. If you're a really good player, you should probably expect your player pool to really smash maybe 8 out of 40 weeks a year, right? Maybe about 20% of the time would be really good. And if your player pool smashes, you want those combinations to have the most likely chance, right? So if you have a player pool of 50 and you end up getting 42 guys through the cut, well, that's great. But now you still got 42 guys mixed across your however many lineups, the chances of hitting the nuts are really rare. Whereas if you had a player pool of, say, 18 guys and you get, you know, let's say 16 of the 18 through the cut. Now of those 16 guys, you have them all mixed and matched together across all your lineups. You're really giving your player pool a chance to smash. Okay. Because it doesn't matter how good your player pool is if you don't have the right players together. Right. So there's so many times where I'll have great player pool weeks, but I didn't have the right combination. Part of the reason I love the solver is it's taking a lot of that out of it for me. And it's not, it's taking my human element out of it. And it's just putting those guys together at the right amount that they should be. And that is why I really enjoy optimizing over hand building recently. What's up? Ayo! What's up, Jeff? Let's see. Moving along. What are your thoughts on Harris English this week? Delbert, great question, man. I'm actually kind of liking Ropat. I think Ropat is a guy that I've always played at hard courses. He's an auto play for me at the U.S. Open. And if we're buying the whole old guys are making a comeback narrative, why can't it be Harris English? I'll tell you what, he looked pretty damn good last week. I am warm to it. If he is on the right side of the wave that I want, I think Harris English is another guy like Webb Simpson. He's won me a lot of money, and I'm not ready to give up on him, man, okay? So that's where I'm at with him. Let's see. I'm not eating dinner. It's a fast night, Anton. Every time you bring up dinner, you make me hungry. Have you liked and sub yet? Jeff gets it. Drop the man a like. Let's see how many we can get to this week. Only 42. Look at these people. These people get it. Did mom make meatloaf for dinner night? I'm fasting. Quit talking about food, you mother fathers. This field feels a lot like last year's Mexico Open where I didn't play Rahm or Finau. Is this week similar? I mean, look, I will tell you this. When I do my win equity, Sean, Sung J.M. had the highest win equity of any player I've had in a tournament so far this year. Okay, he's just so likely to win this tournament versus anybody else. That's the biggest thing you got to consider. I'm not worried about Sung J making the cut if I fade him. I'm worried about him winning, right? Because if he finishes outside, let's just say he finishes T12 or worse, you probably could survive not playing Sung J this week. But if he finishes top three, you're basically toast. You're basically toast. And I would say he's probably legit 20% to finish top three. That water hit like a ton. All right, the model likes O'Hara. What do you think about him, big guy? He was on my sleepers video earlier, Hannah. He's real dirty, but I kind of like him. All right, thoughts on Dietry and EVR this week? I think EVR is underpriced. 7,300 in this field for EVR for his upside feels like an underprice. I will tell you, he will be probably 8 over through 6, and you'll be like, why don't I play him? Or it could be a good – EVR is one of those strokes gain psychology guys. If he's locked in, he don't give a shit about a hard course, okay? EVR is a guy that I would play in GPPs. I would never consider him for a second in cash, but in GPPs, I think he's the ultimate type of leverage guy you want to consider. If this field is going to be volatile and people are going to put it in the water, why not just go play a volatile guy like EVR? We know he has elite-level upside. Dietry, very warm to him. I think he's a little overpriced at 9,000. But at the same time, you know, everybody in this field kind of sucks, so maybe that's right. All right. Is it worth it to start your lineups M. Lowry? Absolutely. Especially if you got some sleepers that you like, Jeff. Yeah, you can start up. You can start out chalky up top, right? And that's a super chalky start. But what you can do is even if you start with a 40% owned guy and a 25% owned guy, if the next four guys in your lineup are all like under 5%, you're going to be such a different lineup than everybody else. And you're still going to be very unique and still have a chance to win. Now, if you start with those two and then you go GMN, you know, three other guys at 15%, I don't think you have any chance at winning. What's Sung Jae's ownership on the $100 single entry? 49. I'll go 49. Remember to ask a question. There you go, me. From the past? That's creepy. Thanks for doing the big guy. What's the downside of leaving 1K on the table to be super different? Do you think win equity is valuable in a week like this? You know, Jerry, in a week like this where the difference between a guy at 8,300 and a guy at 7,300 is almost a negligible difference, I don't think there's a – this would be one of the few weeks I would consider doing it. This is a week I'll probably leave 500 on the table, which is a lot for me. I'm a big believer in not leaving much on the table because you're basically giving up better plays when you do that. But this week, with the difference of $1,000 being very little and how the guys play, I'm pretty warm to it. I'm pretty warm to it, okay? Let's see. Definitely in showdown, by the way. What's the most important stat you look at in your precious model? Difficult. I think par 4 scoring. You're going to have to be scoring on some par 4s this week and avoiding bogeys. But more important than that, it has to be difficult par 4s. I don't give a shit how you score on par 4s at the John Deere. I want to know how you score at par 4s, you know, on at difficult tracks. Okay, that's what I want to know. Can I play Pearson Cootie for more than just his baller name? No, you can also play him to lose money. There's always that too. Jonathan Vegas time. I mean, Corey, you do you, boo. I you know, to me that's donkey chalk, and you know, I'll probably play one of those donkey chalk guys, but I don't think it's gonna be yo hot in Vegas. How many water balls will Taren hit tomorrow? Over under 3.5. 3.5. Look it up in Vegas. Did you build your teams before the stream? Only if they're donkey dicks, Brian. Who is this week's Patrick Rogers? That's the easiest question ever. It's Padraig Harrington. The fact that people are going to play Padraig Harrington. This is so bad. All right, thoughts. Should we fade the top two players? That's up to you, Joanne. I can see an argument for it. But here's the thing, is those two guys have such higher win equity than everybody else. You also have to think about that. Are you sacrificed? Because you know if you don't have the winner, you have to have a 6-6, and you have to have the winner to do well.
Get the fuck
out of here. Oh, shut up, Polly. And the winner to do well in a GPP, right? And are you giving up too much win equity when you fade those guys? That would be my question for you. Let's see. Moving on. How about team left-handed guys? Okay, just make sure that they're not guys that tug it, right? You don't want them to miss right off the tee, right? Which, now that I think about it, it doesn't matter if you're left or right-handed. That's measuring the same thing. So, yeah, just make sure it's not guys that tend to hit a lot of hooks. Never, you would not want to play me if I were left-handed because I always overcook my draws. And by that, I mean, what the hell is that called? A hook. I hook it. Hook. Let's see. What price range is your favorite this week? The low 7Ks. Everybody wants to play upper 7Ks. I'll play low 7Ks, Bill. Max entering the $1.20 max. Should I keep my player pool to 18? I like to go more like 15 to 16, Hannah, but 18 is not egregious. Thinking of full fading Sung Jae week long and using him in showdown. Christian, that's a great way to do it. Some good hedge equity. Make sure to watch my showdown, the showdown one video I did over on the website. 100% Cam Davis. I mean, that's ballsy. I need to see a little bit, man. I'm really starting to wonder if he's broke, Mike. That's my problem with him. Are you able to get enough win equity by fading him and Lowry? I don't think so, Sean. There's like not a lot of guys with a ton of win equity once you get past them. What are you going to go to? Kirk? Get out of here. Get out of here. Who is Denny Mac's favorite play this week? Why is Denny Mac my favorite play this week? I don't know, man. His approach game is so wonky that I don't really trust him. I mean, I know he can putt, and he'll be able to save par with some 27-footers, but I don't know. This isn't a course that screams Denny McCarthy to me. I like him more at, like, Birdie Fest, not at grinder courses. Justin, thoughts on running a 5-1 weather edge? Should I go all in on each individual lineup? Here's what why not just go 6-0? If you really like one guy from the other side, you can. Or you could just make a combination of lineups and do a couple where you just mix and match both ways and then just do a couple that are all PMAM. Nick, my man, sponsoring giveaway and $100. Thank you, Nick, for the super chat. The editor will eat tonight. He is excited. Has not eaten in a week since you last gave him money. Is Webb Simpson high enough upside to play? Kenneth, I will be the first to tell you I'm a biased SOB, but yes, he does. Let's see. The editor gets to eat. Dollar Bill gets it. All right, Nick, the stone plus showdown, the solver equals winners. Hey, thanks, Nick. You should have put that on the $100 super chat for everybody to see. He doesn't know how to do super chats yet. I don't even think he knows he can leave messages on those. He could say LSU rules and OU sucks, and I'd have to deal with it for the editor. All right, Dylan Fratelli this week. I liked him, Spoon Man, until I saw he's like the highest stone guy in that range. I don't know if I kind of want to play like a chalk Fratelli, right? I like to play him at 1%, not at 7. All right, Rashad asks, Grant, Alexander, and Cole make sense? Yeah, I like all those guys, actually. I'm here for 5:50 a.m. Lord time zone lock. Yeah, I'm going to wake up, and by the time I wake up, at least two of my guys will... No, none of my guys will be dead because I don't think I'm going to play anybody from the a.m. tomorrow. Except at showdown. All right. Michael, Bermuda. Oh, I don't think he's talking to me. Let's see. How big will your pool be this week for the 3-max? If I play 3-max, I always keep my pool to either 9 or 10 guys, Jeff. Always. Gordon, yes or no? Kyle, I'm kind of getting warm to the idea of fading that whole range. I agree that all those guys are good, but trying to pick which one's going to be right, I don't know. Maybe the real play is just like fade all those fuckers. You know what I'm saying? I have 23 players in my player pool for 40 lineups. I would probably be closer to like 21, but I don't think 23 is bad, Greg. I don't think that's bad. That's not like out of control. Can I fade Sung Jae and Lowry this week? You can. Once again, I think you're giving up a lot of win equity. What's up, D-Gen? I'll be at the tournament on Friday. Chris, why don't you send me some inside information, right? Cam Davis is limping, right? Something like that. I don't know. Tell me how Mark Hubbard's toe looks. I mean, now that you're going to see his toe, but is he walking weird or anything? I'd like to know that. Matt Slovakia, how much do I pay attention to Vegas lines? I'd assume they go into the projections. Yeah, that's what, when we cook in that win equity, top 20, miscut, a good percentage of that is the model just pulling Vegas odds because Vegas knows what the fuck they're talking about. So we look at that, right? How much stock are you putting into doesn't miss right narrative? I'd say 5%. Like, if a guy doesn't do that, I'm not going to not play him. But if that's like a bonus and I was already kind of warm to a guy like Hank Lebioda and I see he doesn't miss right, give me some hammer and ink. I haven't entered my lineups yet. Just waiting for D-Gen to remind me Sung Jae is a terrible play. He's a terrible play if you play him at anything less than 80%. That's my take on it. That's how to play the game. You play him 0 or 80-plus percent. Those are your only two options, mother father. Thoughts on Suh? I think he is the best pivot in that range. I don't think he's very much different than most of those guys, yet he is legit one-third the ownership of almost all of them. What is the most money you would leave on the table this week? $500 for me, but if you leave $1,000, I won't shit on you. Is it all about ball strikers this week? Hannah, I think that is the best way to get it done is ball strikers. But I do think that there is something for guys who will grind courses and can play around the green and putt really well. A guy that instantly comes to mind is Christian Bezuidenhout. He is the furthest thing from a ball striker, but he is a guy that I think can get it done around here, right? Matt Kuchar, not traditionally a great ball striker. He is a guy that I think can get it done around here. All right. Let's see. Satoshi Kataira, worth it in GPP? I like him in hard courses, Ryan. I'm in. So Billy Ho, trunk slam on Wednesday night. Wait, you mean Friday night? What are we talking about? Billy Ho withdrawal or something? I don't know what's going on. 3 in the 9K, 3 in the 7K, fade M and Shane. Tiger, I don't hate it, but I would ask, who are your guys in the 9K, right? They better be some guys that have some high win equity. Look at that on the stone would be my advice to you. Is it okay to, man, everybody keeps asking that question. Is EVR possible pivot play? Absolutely, Ben. Absolutely. All right, holes 5 and 7 and 15 through 17 are dangerous. Oh, I know, sir. I remember watching Svensson and Kirk put it in the water and kill my Fantasy Golf World Championship ticket last year. On those holes, yeah, this is why I'm trying to avoid guys that bogey avoidance on tough courses was one of the big things I looked at. Best guy in the 8K range? Who is the best guy in the 8K range? It is going to be Sepp Straka. Sepp Straka. Carl Yoon, I feel like he's a pretty good golfer at 6,800. The only thing I got, Jason, is I don't know how well he plays hard courses. We don't know him that well yet. Is he just a guy that gets a lot of birdies firing into every pin? Firing into every pin here is going to equal a lot of double bogeys when you're digging your ball out of the water, even. Vegas Pendrith or Dietrich is a pivot to Poston. Well, Vegas ain't a pivot off anybody, so I guess it would be Pendrith or Dietrich. I agree with this assessment, Jason. Is your player pool different for DraftKings and FanDuel? No, I pretty much keep it the same, Chad. And the great thing is I fade so much chalk over on DraftKings that when I go put my lineups in at FanDuel, I'm really avoiding the chalk. Because if you don't know, whatever is chalk at DraftKings is like giga chalk over on FanDuel. So, if you're willing to fade Sung Jae on DraftKings at 40%, I guarantee you he'll be 60% on FanDuel. The general rule is just bump him up 50%. All right, is this the full week of carnage? I hope so. I want a less than 1% 6 of 6 rate. That's what I want. Oh, wait, maybe I don't, because if I play 100% Sung Jae, I don't know. Well, I'll think about it. To leave some money or not to leave some money, that's up to you, big guy. Is a 7K range where the GPPs are won this week? I think the 8 or 9K range. I think one or two of those guys in that 8 or 9K range is going to finish top 5, and you're going to really need them in a nuts lineup. That's my opinion. Alex Smith, I'm fading M. Near, can you throw ownership out the window in your lineup construction? If I'm fading M near 40, no, you can't. Because then say you go put in Lowry, and then you go put in Wise, and then you go put in Vegas, and you go put in three more guys in this upper 7K range, well, you're still going to have a super chalky lineup, okay? So no, you can't do that, Alex. You still got to be aware. Think of this thing called product ownership. Multiply what each of those guys' ownership is, and you want that number to be really small. Then go take that number and multiply it times the number of entries. So if you're playing in the big $20, there's 70,000 lineups in there. Go take your product ownership, which is when you multiply the ownership of your six players, take that, multiply it times 71,000. That'll let you know how likely you are to be duped. If that number is one or even close to one, you have a very chalky lineup. All right, any insights for Yahoo? No. I'm sorry, man. I don't know nothing. Ben Martin or Eric Cole? I actually kind of like both those guys, Kevin, but if you made me pick, I'd go Eric Cole. Are you saying that you're tangled in a web? Sorry, I'm a woman now walking in the spider web. Did I just call myself a woman? What the hell's going on here? Anyone feel brave enough for Cam Davis this week? I feel like he is a brave play. I don't know if I can get there, though, bro. All right, let's see here. Oh, wow, that's what she said. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you. Glad I didn't offend the one woman watching. I'm sure there's probably two women watching. Did you know Podrick is only 7 years older than Kuchar? Yeah, but... that's too old. Okay, Kuchar's too old. I'm playing him. Okay, 7 years is a long time. Okay, 7 years ago, I could still grab the rim on a basketball. I could still dunk a little foam Nerf ball 7 years ago. Now, I don't think I could touch the rim if I jumped off a trampoline. All right. Let's see here. Fade all the 6K guys. There's some I want to play, but I could see that, Brock. Bill, Denny, go back to Denny Mac. Thanks for the Denny Mac last Saturday. Screw that donkey jock. Bill, I told you I love me some Denny, man. Too bad my dumbass didn't know how to get lineups in before lock. I'm telling you, man, Denny's an okay play. He might play fine here. He looks good in my model. But, you know, I just, in my mind, in my perception of Denny, I like him at more Birdie Fest type courses. That's just my perception. I'm wrong all the time. The Friday sweet spot you were talking about, how do we know by tonight you're going to tee off in that sweet spot? The Friday sweet. Yeah, so what you want to do is just go look at their round two tee times. You're going to want guys going off as early as possible Friday for round two. That's how you do it. Or you just go look at the stone, Travis. That'd be the best answer, right? See, like, you come over here to the stone, you just go find all, we have them colored, the PMA, and this is last week, so it's not colored, but you get it. Do you like Billy Ho and Chris Kirk this week? Yes. I think Billy Ho is a tremendous leverage play. I think that of all the guys in this tournament, he is probably the third most likely guy to win. He's just a winner. The dude's a winner. You can't take that away from him. What's your DraftKings name? I am Modest75. You probably saw it back over here. Modest75, right there. You can look me up. You go look me up on the Roto Grinders, brother. Although they're missing, like, they miss a lot of results. Thoughts on Aaron Baddeley? I want to believe in him. I've been playing a lot of him, Complex Kid, but I don't know. I just worry about his off the tee game. That's all. Okay, I just see him like with 6 water balls. Would you advise against Max entering the Millie Maker with 80% SIG? Well, I mean, if you're rich, do it. I think that's a very, very, very negative EV play, but YOLO. If you're rich or you're dying, you need to burn through some money, go ahead. Editor in the closet when he's not working? No. When he's not working? No. He's in the closet all the time. We don't ever let him out. Editor, tell DJ that Billy Ho is dealing with illness according to Golf Injury Report. Billy Ho? Uh-oh. Billy Ho. I mean, Billy Ho is dramatic, though, man. Every time he does a presser, people are always freaking out about him. Any love for Pendrith? I do. I think Pendrith, I'm a long-term buyer on Pendrith. I've said he's going to win twice this year. I'm starting to not love that call, but it is what it is, right? Hey, guys, do me a favor. Make sure you hit like and subscribe if you stayed around this long. I appreciate you guys for helping me have my biggest show ever. 2 weeks in a row. Unbelievable. Keep growing. Tell friends. Come visit the website. Hey, old guy, I know I'm an old too. You don't have to be a part of the Discord. Just come sign up and get all the tools and all my content. I'm here to help you building a community, doing it different, not giving a shit what the haters say. Just going to keep growing. Just keep doing my own thing and just keep being Ted Lasso. Just going to kill him with optimism and make PGA DFS fun. It has been real. I can't wait to see you guys again Friday and Saturday for the Showdown Hoedown, where we really have an edge and we can really kick some ass. I hope to see you there, but in the meantime, you motherfathers, I hope you enjoy this outro.